Father, we do ask that you would bless this time. We ask that you would fill these young people with your spirit. I ask that you would give Ricky wisdom as he leads this. Lord, we're looking to you now. We're looking for your blessing. Lord, we ask that you would help us to not just be hearers of your word tonight, that we would leave here doers, empowered by the Spirit. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen.
All right. Before we get started tonight, just give you a little information about what's going on. I see there's still a few coming down. If you want to give your testimony tonight, if you're one of these young people, please make your way to the front now while these others are getting ready. For those of you who weren't aware, we took 30, I think it was 39, we ended up, I'm sorry, 38. We had one back out at the very last minute. We ended up taking 38 with us. We had a great weekend, had great weather, everybody had a good time. So I've taken care of that part of your testimony. You don't have to tell anybody about all that. All you need to do is tell them exactly what God said to you this weekend, okay? That's what they want to hear. They want to be blessed by what God did for you this weekend and how he worked through this weekend. So we're going to start right here. Like I said, John was the brave one. He sat on the end seat. So come on, John.
Okay, before I went to the wilds, I had asked God to speak to me at this teen retreat, and he did. On Friday night, the preacher preached from the verse that says see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And he preached about not being careless about your Christianity. And God really spoke to me about that because a lot of times what I'll do is I'll read my Bible, I'll get it done so that I can say I read my Bible every day. I'll be distracted with other things, with pleasure, just, you know, living for myself. And I really haven't had that quality quiet time, that quality prayer time that God really wants me to have. So I wish that you would pray for me, that God would strengthen me, and that I would really grow to love him and to develop that deep relationship with him.
Amen.
In the speaker's first sermon, he talked about being careful, and he spoke to me, and I need to be more careful about what I do. And then the second sermon was about salvation. One thing he said was that God loves everyone in the world, so I need to witness to them. And he also talked about hiding God's word in our hearts and getting daily devotions. And I need God's help for that. And this morning, he talked about who you're serving, yourself or God. And I normally serve myself. So I'd like for you all to pray for me that I would start serving God more.
Amen.
Our speaker talked about how things that aren't sins can slow your Christian walk with God, and God spoke to me through that, and also God, it was this thing called God and I Time, and it was about God is always looking when you're doing good or bad, and that spoke to me too.
Well, this weekend the Lord just kind of like reminded me of three things. The first two things I'm going to share is things that he showed me during our God Night Time. And we studied Jonah. And the first day, which was yesterday morning, I learned about his patience and how God is so patient with us, and he just forgives us over and over again for the same sins. And he not only gives us second chances. But he gives us third chances and fourth chances, and it's just amazing that be so patient with me because sometimes I get frustrated with people and I get impatient with them and they don't need me. It's just like little things. But God is just so holy. But He is still so patient with me when I sin. So why can't I be patient with other people when they just, when it's just nothing? And a verse that really stood out to me during our God and I time was Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. And it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness." And then this morning we read about His presence and how He's always so close to me. He's just always there whenever I need Him. And like Annabeth says, He sees everything that I do. He hears everything that I say. And that's very comforting, but it's also very convicting because I know God sees me. I know He's always there with me. But sometimes I don't forget that. It just doesn't affect what I do. It doesn't affect what I say. It doesn't affect what I do. So if y'all pray for me that I will start thinking, before I do something, before I say something, you know, God is here with me. Is He going to be pleased with this? And then the third thing that He reminded me of was the cross and how unworthy I am of His love and His sacrifice. And just that He would, you know, God would just send His Son to die for me. And also that, you know, Jesus didn't die so that I could live in my sin and live a sinful life, but He died to set me free from my sin so I can live a holy life because He is holy. And that I need to deny myself daily and look to Jesus, because who I look to or what I look to will determine how I live. So if y'all would just pray for me, I would really appreciate it.
My weekend at WOW showed me that God can work with us and show us wonderful, mighty things and things that He can do truly and only by His miracles, as long as we have patience, and that if we could mess up the first time, just the worst you could possibly do it, and yet He would still have enough patience to show us to just to be able to say, "I love you, and I'll give you another chance." And He'll not only give us second chances, like Cassie said, He'll give us third, fourth, and patience was defined by Webster's Dictionary to endure great suffering and strife without complaint. And when I read that, I was automatically convicted that I thought I had patience, but then the last part just blew it for me, because to endure great suffering and strife without complaint, that's just the way I define as being patient is just to go through suffering and strife but still complaining about it. And so I just want y'all to pray for me that I would have true patience, that He may show me wonderful and great things that He could show others. Because a great example was Mark, because he gave up on missions and he said, "I'm out of this. I just can't do this." And he went off. God gave him a second chance. And with that, he wrote the book of Mark, which changed many people's lives. And that just truly showed me that when God gives you a second chance, it's not going to be getting like lesser and lesser of opportunity. It's going to grow an opportunity for you to do more wonderful and great things. So if y'all would just pray for me and my patience.
There any others who'd like to come forward this time? any of the adults that came? Here comes one more.
Hi, I'm Jesse, and the first sermon was about being careful, and I read my Bible in the morning, and I'll just, like, forget about it the rest of the day, and I'm not careful of what I do and what I say, so just pray for me that I'll be better at that.
Any others? Because I don't want to stop it short if there's somebody else out there. It's interesting tonight, before we close the service, we're going to be praying for a young man that's fixing to be deployed. And Stephen, it didn't seem like that many years ago that you were standing here on a Sunday night giving testimony after being at the Wilds with us in a team retreat. I was thinking about that, and then when I thought about that, I said, well, you know, it wasn't long Danny was here at the same place. These young men and young women are growing up, and they're moving on to serve in other places. And we sent Danny away with a prayer that he would not only be protected over there, but that he would be used in a mighty way over there. And we see that Danny was protected over there, and I do feel that God used him over there in many cases. He got to be with a lot of young men who were injured, who were seriously injured, and he was able to be there for them and to give them some comfort because Danny knows God. And it's because of teaching that they've gotten here at this church, and it's from teaching that they got at places, at camps like the Wilds, and things of that nature. And so, parents, grandparents, let me exhort you that if you've got children that get to the age where they can go to one of these teen weekends, that they can, maybe they're above that, but they're with the college and career age, you need to get them there. You really need to get them under some of that teaching that's up there. Couples, no matter how old, no matter how long you've been married, those couples conferences up there are just tremendous. We've heard testimony of couples that's come back. There's all kinds of functions that the Wilds puts on up there, and I really wish that more people would be involved in that. Take your Bibles now, if you would. You can go ahead and open those Bibles to the book of John, chapter 8. The book of John, chapter 8. I'm not going to be here long tonight. John, chapter 8. I want to tell you a story, first of all. Jake, I think I'm on number 3. I don't know if it's on or not. I guess it is. There's not a young person in this room that's going to remember this story in history. But all you older people in this room, everybody that's at least as old as I am, okay, should remember this story without much trouble at all. Back in 1974, there was a high-profile kidnapping that took place. Now, it wasn't so much the person that was kidnapped, though she was very famous. It was not so much the ransom demand that was offered, that was demanded. It was $400 million. But those weren't the things that actually made this story so unique. Those weren't the things that complicated the entire functions of the law. Because this person who was kidnapped was Patricia Hearst. She was kidnapped by the Symbionese Liberation Army. Now, if you've never heard of that, don't worry about it, because there's nobody that's ever heard of them, hardly left, okay, except for us older guys. And I had to remember their name by looking it up on the internet. I couldn't remember what it was. I remembered it was something liberation. But she was kidnapped, and during her time of captivity there, she became loyal and actually sympathetic to their cause, to the point that not only was she a prisoner, but she participated in a bank robbery with them. Now, when I say participated, I don't mean that they said, okay, you go in and hand the teller the note. No, she stood barking out orders with a semi-automatic weapon. She participated in the robbery, which, by the way, she spent time in jail, which, by the way, Governor Jimmy Carter pardoned her. Well, actually released her from jail, and Bill Clinton gave her a full pardon. Though she was definitely involved. But the reason they did it is they said that she wasn't acting in her right mind. That she actually had something, which we all knew that, but she actually had something called Stockholm Syndrome. Now, it amazes me how psychiatrists can come up with a syndrome no matter what it is. You know, I think I have obesity syndrome. I don't want to eat, I just have to. But the fact is they said that this Stockholm Syndrome is what she fell prey to, which means while she was captive, she got into the loyalties of the cause and she just didn't know what she was doing. She was brainwashed. She was taken away just out of her own mind and participated. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible talks about this same thing. And they didn't call it the Stockholm Syndrome. But Jesus gave this very teaching. You've got your Bibles open to chapter 8, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, look with me in verse 31. We're going to read just a few verses together. We're going to take just a very quick outline. I'm going to show you a few things here. Verse 31, it says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then you are My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered Him, "We be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou that ye shall be made free?" And Jesus answered them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Let's pray. Father, we ask now that as we look into Your Word, that You would give us wisdom. Lord, I pray that You would help me to say the things that I need to say tonight, to make this as efficient as I can, but Lord, to make this as much teaching as You would have them, as You would have us to know tonight from Your Word. Lord, I ask that You would just put Your hand on it and You would bless it. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing we want to see is Jesus was giving some instructions here. Now, if we go back into the context of what's going on here, this is the time of the Feast of Tabernacles that's going on. Jesus has come back. He didn't come back with the disciples. He actually came back after them because there was some danger that they were going to try and seek Him and kill Him during this time. And so they pulled Him aside. He said, "I'll tell you what, y'all go on into the city and I'll come when it's My time to come." So Jesus comes into the city. He's hanging around there. They're all asking about it. It's a buzz all over town. Where is Jesus? And of course, He's pretty easy to find because the first thing we see is He's in the temple teaching. And He goes into the temple and He's teaching. And as He teaches, there's a statement made back in chapter 7 in verse 31 where it says, "And many of them believed on Him." Then as we go into chapter 8, we see that He has gone out of the temple now. He has taught out into the crowd, walked around out a little bit more. Now He's back in the treasury and He's teaching again. He's talking to these same people who have come and they've already started believing on Him a little bit. And if you would, look back just a few verses before where we started down in verse 30 where it says, "And He spake these words," and again it says, "Many believed on Him." So what we've got going on is Jesus is now teaching around the temple area. He's talking to Jewish people who are there for the Feast of Tabernacles. They are there for that purpose, but they are listening to Jesus' teachings, and many are starting to believe on Him. As He's doing this, then He decides, "Hey, you're listening, you're starting to believe on Me. Let Me give you some instructions." So right in verse 31, Jesus says to the Jews which believed on Him, "If ye continue in My word, then ye are My disciples indeed." If ye continue, what He's actually saying, if you'll listen to what I have to say and observe these things, you'll be My disciple. Now, a disciple is somebody who follows after a teacher. Jesus was the teacher. Naturally, they would have to follow him by following his teachings. If you follow after any teacher, whether it's a math teacher or history teacher or a prophet or whatever it is, if you're going to follow after them, you can only follow them as far as you believe them. It was easy when we took math in school and 1 + 1 = 2, right? If you'd have had a teacher come up and tell you, hey, you know, all these years that's been wrong, and 1 + 1 = 3, you'd have had a hard time following that teacher, wouldn't you? Nah, I don't believe that, because that and that makes 2. You know? So they are following after him. They're being disciples. He says, if you will listen to what I have to say and take this in, follow my words, then my disciples you will be. And if you do those things, notice this is joined by a conjunction, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus said, if you will listen to the things that I am teaching you, because I am teaching you truth. If you listen to those things which I am teaching you, then the truth that you will learn will set you free. Well, these Jews, though they were believing on him, they were trying to follow after him, they got a little confused here. And they said, well, now, wait a minute. We're of Abraham's seed. We've never been in any bondage to any man. Now, on quick reading of that, you go, what's wrong with those guys? The Jews were bondage to the Assyrians. They were in bondage to the Babylonians. They were in bondage to the Egyptians. Right now, when this is being taught, when it's being read, they're really in bondage to the Romans right now. What do they mean they've never been in bondage to any man? But that's not what they were thinking. They actually understood here that Jesus was not teaching about physical bondage. He was teaching about a spiritual bondage. And they got that part of it. They sort of understood what was going on, but they said, but you're going to have to tell us a little more. Because we're a little confused here. You've given us some instruction and it says the truth shall make you free. Now, you know, that is one of the most misapplied statements that you'll ever hear. You can go in almost any public library and there'll be a sign in there that says, and you shall know the truth and the truth will make you free. Well, truth in that point, I guess you could make that statement. There is some logic to that. But Jesus isn't talking about human knowledge here either. He's not talking about wisdom that you can go and grab a book off the shelf and gain knowledge. He's talking about spiritual wisdom. He said, there is a truth that you can learn from my teaching, from my word. If you will listen to me, this truth will liberate you. This truth will set you free. They said, well, give us a little bit more. And he says, okay, I'll give you a little bit more. Because then he says, verily, 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 I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. So he's giving them a little bit more teaching here. He's giving them a little more truth. He says, you know, the fact is whosoever committeth sin is going to be a servant to that sin. Well, they understood about servanthood. They understood that if you're a servant, then there is a master, there is someone you have to obey, there's someone you have to do. And what Jesus is saying here is if you just continue to sin, if you continue to live that same life that you're living, building upon it time after time after time, and never trying any kind of change in your life, never understanding that you don't have to be attacked and attached to this sin, you're going to be the servant to it. Now, we see that in our society today. We know that is true. There is not anywhere that you can't go that you don't hear people talking about pornography on the internet and how addictive it is. There's nowhere that you can go that you don't see people who are down and out because of drugs, down and out because of alcohol, down and out because of immorality. They are those things which they chose to continue in, which ran their lifestyle down. Now, I don't think anyone in this room, given the opportunity, if somebody were to say, "Hey, Bill, I want you to become a drug addict." Now, let me tell you what it's going to do to you, though, okay? I'm going to give you all these drugs for now. But eventually it's going to cost you more than you can ever make in your life, okay? Now, it's also going to take away your health. It's going to take away all your money. It's going to take away probably your wife. It's going to take everything else away from you. But don't you still want to do it? Of course, yeah. Say no. Of course not. If we were given all that information up front, if Satan had nothing to deceive us with, if everything was open and clear and we had that truth, we would never fall for that. If somebody said, "Hey, Christian, if you'll just go to these pornography sites, I don't know, maybe once or twice a week, it'll never affect you." But that's what Satan does. But he's not going to say, "But if you go once or twice a week this week, then it's probably going to be once or twice a day before long, and next thing you know, it's going to ruin your family, it's going to ruin your life." We wouldn't fall into those traps. Jesus said, "Hey, look, I'm trying to give you a truth here, a truth that's going to set you free. If you'll continue in my word, then that truth will set you free. However, if you continue in your sin, you're going to be in bondage to it. It's going to incarcerate you." Now, this is where we go back to that Stockholm syndrome thing, okay? What happens? We liked him. Those little things that we do, we start liking them. Well, that doesn't hurt anybody. You know, maybe me, but it's not hurting anybody else. And so we start making excuses. Well, you know, it's just one little drink every now and then. I only do it at the company picnic because everybody else is. But we'll just, you know, we'll just keep on that one just a little bit. We'll hang on. And then maybe that other thing's not so bad either. And we'll just continue on in that sin. And it gets progressively worse. See, sin is never something that just goes, "Okay, it's right here. This is your line. You can be sinful this far and you don't have to go any further." Because sin always carries you further than you want to go. And usually it's not until you're way past that point when you realize, "I've messed up." But you're so far over here now, you don't know how to get back. Jesus said, "Hey, let me tell you something. If you continue in your sin, you're going to be the servant of sin. But hey, what did he say at first? If you'll listen to what I have to say, I'm going to give you some truth. And that truth will set you free." Look down, if you would, in verse 34 and 35 it is. "And a servant abideth in the house, not in the house forever, but the son abideth forever." Now, that word "son" is capitalized, is it not? So who's it talking about? Who? Jesus. Anytime you see that word capitalized, it's a proper name for somebody. And the only son that we're looking at that we would be concerned with in the Bible, that it would be considered a proper name, we're talking about the Son of God. We're talking about Jesus Christ. He says, the servant abideth in the house, not in the house forever, but the Son doth abide forever. He is always going to be there. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Back to the first teaching. See, he said, if you'll continue, if you'll listen to what I have to say, you're going to hear truth. That truth is going to set you free. Well, what's got us in bondage? Well, what's got you in bondage is that sin that's tying you down, that's holding you in your place right now. But let me tell you, Jesus says, that the Son can set you free. The truth that he was teaching these Jewish believers here, these Jewish followers here, there's not necessarily a scriptural basis that we can say they are actual believers yet, other than the fact that we know they are believing on him, not necessarily in him yet. You can listen to different commentaries. You can go to different places and they'll tell you all kinds of different things. But the point is we don't know exactly where they are standing right now, but he is giving them this teaching saying, if you'll abide in my word, if you'll continue in what I have to tell, what I have to teach you, and that you will move in that direction and away from sin, because you can't move in two directions at one time, right? You can't move closer toward sin and closer toward God at the same time. Now, we see that problem happening in our society today. We see it happening in our churches today because we see so many people want to get so close to that edge that they don't worry, I'm still on the solid ground, though there's a cliff hanging below me. How many of you have ever been out west and seen all the Grand Canyon or places like that? I've never been out there. I've seen pictures of it. It's very pretty from what I see. I don't know, maybe one day I'll get to go. I'll have to ask my wife. But those of you who have been out there, do they just let you walk up to the edge and look over? I mean at the public places, okay? I mean, I'm sure there's private places that don't have any kind of guardian or any kind of barrier. But most of the places that you would go to and be able to look out over, they got some kind of barrier, don't they? They don't even let you get real close to the edge, probably. I know we went to the Little Grand Canyon. I did get to see that. You know, that's over here. And even at that, you can't get real close to the edge. Why? Because they're afraid it'll break away, it'll fall. And they want you to stay behind the barrier. And that's the same thing that we're doing in our society today. We're trying to push ourselves so close to that edge where sin is, but we're okay, we're on the firm footing. We could slip too easily. We need to make sure we center ourselves back up. That's a different sermon. But you got that for free. So, Jesus said, if you'll just continue in my teaching, listen to what I have to say, take it in, absorb it, listen, then when sin comes into your life, you'll know the truth. And if you'll know the truth is what will set you free from that sin. Now, how is that going to do that? Well, we were just looking at it just a second ago. We were thinking about the different things, different kinds of sin, different types of sin, the things that were going on, how we could be very easily deceived and to keep on doing those things. But if we knew that truth up front, we wouldn't, right? Well, it's the same way with sin. If we'll study God's Word, if we'll go to God's Word, young people, that was one of the challenges that He gave you this week, to be sure that you spend that time in God's Word. Why? So that you'll know the truth. So that when Satan comes at you with those lies, when he comes at you and he tries to deceive you and say, oh, Jesse, it's not that bad, you can say, oh, no, it isn't. Look what it says right here. If I do this, I'm going to end up like this, and I don't want to be there. But you've got to follow after God's Word. You've got to continue in those things which He's teaching. Now, there is no new revelation. We don't get to go home tonight and lay down in our beds and wake up and go, oh, wow! That's something new. God's going to tell me something new. We'll write it down and make our own Bible. There's too many people out there doing that, okay? God's truth is complete. It's right there. It's right in front of us. But it's up to us to dig in there and get it. It's up to us to open it up and look for the truth, to continue in the truth. And if we do that, the truth will set us free. Every head bow, every eye closed, please.